Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now for all things in your name. And we thank you for, well, God, what you're about to do here in this place again, oh God, your word coming forth, oh God, in a mighty way, and God, just everything that you're doing is so powerful and mighty. Thank you right now, as I move out of the way so you can move in Jesus' name, use me, speak through me right now for these moments that I have. I know that I cannot accomplish everything that you have given me today, God, but I thank you for just the portion that I will be able to render on today, so God, use me, and I pray that I will be blessed as well as the congregation will be blessed here in the sanctuary and also on Zoom, oh God. So let your power and your anointing flow right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for the Holy Ghost deliverance power right now. You know what we need today, God. And we thank you now for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So you got your Bibles. I got my stuff written down. They be saying, man, you know, you done been in the Bible for so long, you probably know the Bible, the whole Bible, back quotes and backwards. No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm still learning, too. I mean, it's been over 40 years, but I'm still learning, you know, to render into God's Word and labor in God's Word. And I believe that we need to do it even more now, more than ever. Now we need to be opening up our Bibles and begin to start reading and getting into the Word. And just, I mean, you might not get it all in one shot. You know what I mean? And I remember back in the day when I first started reading the book, man, it was like every time I get in the book, start reading, I start falling asleep after two scriptures. I'm done. You know, it was just like I had took a sleeping pill or been drugged or something, you know. And all I wanted to do was just get the knowledge. I just wanted the knowledge. And my pastor would be always saying, Brother Jess, you know what? Just keep on doing it. Just keep on. He said, read a couple of scriptures. Just read a couple of scriptures. I was reading two. And by the time I got to the third one, I was sitting on the couch. I was nodding out. My eyes were still so heavy. And seemed like those two scriptures seemed like they were the longer scriptures in the Bible. But yet it's still, but it was just the mindset that I had at that particular time. And when we're growing in Christ, we're going to go through these things. But they don't tell you that it's going to take time. It's a process before you can be able to grow a little bit stronger, before you be able to open your book and just begin to start reading five scriptures before you start getting sleepy. You know, they don't tell you that. They don't tell you that, you know, that when you're going through, when you accept Christ as your Savior, that you're going to go through all kinds of hell and high water. They don't tell you that. Or what they tell you is that you're going to get the fullness of God's glory, and that life is going to change, and you're going to live a wholesome life. Well, that's a lie. That was not the truth. Because after you accept Christ, and I'm going to get into this, after you accept Christ, it seems like all hell and high water breaks loose. Man. Come on, somebody. And that's what it seems like. Man, your people that you used to hang out with don't even want to hang out with you no more. Why? Because there's something different about you, but there's supposed to be something different. But, where are you going, Pastor? Well, okay. We got to give y'all some scriptures. You got to give you scriptures. Right. But you know, we don't do this. I got two versions right here, Voice Bible and the NIV, and a lot of stuff here. All right, in John the 13th chapter, I don't have page number 13th chapter, verses 1-17, I'm not sure what page it is on the Voice Bible, but I give you a chance enough to get it. If you're in a regular Bible, it's St. John, the 13th chapter, and beginning at verse 1. And I'm going to read it out to read it from the Voice version first, because that's the book we've been using. And I know some of you, everybody should have one. And you should start bringing it with you, you know, to church. Page 1312 in your Voice. If you don't have your Voice Bible, you might want to open up your phone and go to your Bible Gateway. You know, you don't have it. Download that so that way you'll be able to go along with us. Because one thing I want to just express, you know, is that we have always been, and it was something that God has just put in my spirit, is that we have to read for ourselves, and you have to look at it for yourself. And if your expectation is for to go stronger and higher in God, then you got to get with me. You got to get with me, and you got to read as I read. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to read by myself, because I could be telling you the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? Because there's so many churches out here that sit here and tell you what you want to hear, you know, so that way, where's the offering plate? Can I get the offering plate? Can I get the offering plate? Because I need your money. Amen. But we know that Free Spirit Worship Church, we don't need your money, because God has been taking care of us, and he's always have been down through the years, and he said he's going to still take care of us. And as long as you are part of this ministry, guess what, folks? You're going to be taken care of. Somebody? If this was a concert, they'd be like, say, somebody scream! All
right.
Woo. Anyway, I'm excited to be here. You know what? And I'm really glad that I'm the first one to be the first one to preach on and teach on the new year, so I get to break the ice for everybody.
All right.
And not only that, I get to set the pace. But, you know, but we got to, I'm going to be talking about servanthood, you know, and it's something about being a servant, and many people don't want to be a servant. I tell you the truth. Okay. All right. All right, now, let me go ahead on a read. I forgot the clock. It says, this is out of the Voice Bible. It says, before the Passover festival began, Jesus was nearly aware that his hour had come to depart from this world. It was time for him to get ready to leave and to return to his Father. And from the beginning to the end, Jesus' days were marked by his love, his love for his people. And see, here it's just saying that Jesus had a special love. Jesus, you know, the life of Jesus, so it amazes me, you know, being that in some point we don't understand, we don't know a portion of his life, you know, because the only thing we know was like he was born, then at 12, then he did some other stuff at a wedding, you know, but he wasn't as popular. And then all of a sudden, here he comes. Out of the woodworks, here he comes at 8:30. He was a carpenter all those times, you know, and no telling what if he was a son of a carpenter, you know, he had to be a carpenter too, right? And like, unfortunately, I'm a person that do a lot of things, but my son, he's an engineer, so he designed a lot of things. You see what I'm saying? But we kind of like, you know, the tree, the fruit don't fall far from the tree. Okay, so Jesus' daddy was a carpenter. So Jesus, well, you know, Joseph was his daddy, but, you know, really, God was his father. But, you know, his paternal father was supposed to be, but Jesus, Joseph, was a carpenter. Uh-huh. And so I'm assuming that Jesus was one, too. He built things, you know. He took a moment to build stuff, you know, because that's what the carpenters did. They build stuff. So we could say maybe he built houses. No telling what he did. Built chariots. He built it. I don't know. Whatever they did during those times, and, you know, he worked. But it doesn't say that in the scriptures, you know, during the time of him growing up. Only thing was that he was at 12 when he got to the church. While folks was in the marketplace, he went into the synagogue and he just started, you know, reading the scriptures. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they said, uh-oh, hey, man, you ain't supposed to be in here because this is the holy place. Yeah. But here he recognized the fact that, hey, you know what? I know who I am. Do you know who you are? I asked that question. And then it says in verse 2, it says, before Jesus and his disciples gathered for dinner, and their adversary filled Judas Iscariot's heart with a plan of deceit and betrayal.
Yeah.
And so Jesus picked a whole bunch of messed up folks. He picked a whole bunch of messed up folks. Guess what? Man, if I know I was messed up. Of course, I was really messed up, man. I tell y'all my story. I was messed up. I was messed up. Yeah, but God took the messed up and he made something good out of it. And that's what he does. But here, Judas was about to portray him. Y'all know the story about that, you know. Money can change some people around. You get cashed in for money. Y'all know, especially nowadays, with the way we are living now and things are now, go ahead on and commit a crime and let me see you on TV. And how much they get up? You can get up to $1,000 or $5,000 if you turn them in. And they're not going to tell who you were. you know you're gonna be identified, but they say not. But they got to know who you are when you call in, you know. Because whenever I call anybody on my phone, my whole name come up. Yeah, and I got a T-Mobile phone, and my whole name, Jesse Gray Jr. The whole name come up on my phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Yeah, ain't that something? So if I call into the police station and tell them that David Johnson did a crime, right, my whole name going to come up and they know who I am. So they'll go ahead on the computer and pull my record and all that other stuff because they got access to that. Guess what? God can pull your record too. Now, Jesus, knowing that he had come from God, he knew that, and was going away to God, he stood up from dinner and removed his garment and he then wrapped himself in a towel. So he took off his stuff, wrapped himself around with a towel, and then he poured water into the basin, and then he washed the feet of the disciples and then drained them. This is what he did. My topic is about serving leadership. All right. And then Peter said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, hey, you know what? Peter, you don't realize what I am doing. He said, you don't even realize what I'm doing. But you will understand later. And a lot of times we have things going on in our life that we don't understand right now. We don't understand why God did this, why God allowed that. And we are a people that always asking why. Always why, you know, why. And it's good because the Bible, he said, you know, you got to ask. Then look, let me watch this. Watch what I do with this. You have not because you ask not. So it's okay to say why. Okay? It's okay to say why. And you're going to see that in just a minute. And then Peter said, will you wash my feet now or ever? And Jesus looked at him. I know he did. He said, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you will have nothing to do with me. You will have, if you don't, now, I kind of like researching stuff, you know, because that's what I do too. She always researches. She's a researcher. And that's my daughter, baby girl, my oldest. And we do all this research and stuff, you know. And I know we're down in the South when I was coming up, down in Mississippi and Alabama, the churches we went to, they had feet washing. We used to do it here too, you know, get the bucket, you know, and we wash your feet, you know. You ain't washing my feet. I ain't taking, you know what my feet look like? We don't care what your feet look like. You know what I'm saying? This is what Peter was saying. Peter said, look, Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet because you my master. You is my Lord. And why is you washing all these people's feet in the first place? You shouldn't be washing their feet. We should be washing your feet because you the Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he said, in order for you to be a part of me, you got to allow me to wash this. Or otherwise, you have nothing to do with me. Ain't that powerful? So then Peter said, wash me and don't stop at my feet. Y'all know the story. He said, wash me and don't stop at my feet. He said, cleanse my hands and my head as well. So in other words, Peter was like, do me all over, Lord. Do me all over. And I'm saying this to you. Sometimes we got to ask the Lord just to do us all over. Sometimes we just need for God just to take and just do a makeover on us. I can talk to you ladies because I got three daughters and I had a wife, you know, and I know what was talking about. Me and Bud, we just went to the barber shop, but you know, but they went to the hair salon. They did all that stuff. They did all the stuff that you know y'all do. Get your hair done. Get your nails done. Get your feet done. We don't care about our feet being done. I just recently started letting the people do something to my feet. At first, you ain't touching these feet.
Y'all know we got 10 to beat. You know, we ain't gonna, David, we, no matter how many miles we put on our feet, you know, and on my job, I'd be walking 20,000 miles a day on my job. You know, and I went down there to the Filipino people and let them, and they stuck my feet in that water. Oh, the water felt so good. Then they start gurgling when they start scraping it. Oh, my God. You know, yeah, defeat is a sensitive area. You know? But here, history tells that these people was taking baths, but they won't get their feet washed. Their feet was dirty. Hey, so they were walking all over the places. They were going all different places. You know, so they wasn't cleansed all the way. They were walking around with dirty feet. Who walking around with dirty feet? Anybody walking around with dirty feet? Don't raise your hand. You're on camera. But see, Peter realized that, hey, Lord, don't stop at my feet, but just cleanse me all over. But he didn't realize that he was already cleansed all over. And Jesus said in verse 10, he said, listen, anyone who has bath is cleansed. So and all over except for the feet. Mm-hmm. But I tell you this, not all of you are clean. But see, I know it sounds like I'm been talking about being clean and everything like that, but this is not what I'm talking about. What I want to talk about is being a servant, you know, and just Jesus displayed servanthood by doing what he did, you know, and I mean, and the question is that what would you do to serve, you know? How would you respond in serving? And I realized that I took and went into some checking some other stuff out. And I don't usually go into a secular part in the part of, you know, the corporate part, but I did in reference to my message that I was going through, and I find that even in the corporate world they do the same thing as we do in the church. They get leaders, you know. But the thing about it is they train them to motivate people to increase their organizational skills, you know. They teach them how to listen, you know. They teach them how to engage in motivation, you know. They teach them how to get things on track. And see what it is, and in other words, what I'm telling you, they teach them how to be humble. Because this is where Jesus did. Jesus was showed forth humbleness when he went into doing the feet washing.
Right.
You know, and see here, the custom is that you come into the temple, when you come into the house, everybody got to get their feet washed before the supper, that time at supper. I didn't know that at first till I started reading. But they come in, and when you come into the room, you take your shoes off and you get your feet washed. Because the rest of you is already clean. But you've been out there walking around in the dirt, out there in the dust and everything like that. So now you're dirty.
Okay.
But there's areas of leadership that we are embarking on that has gotten me kind of stirred up. And I mean, if anybody know about serving, is Jesse Gray Jr. You know what I'm saying? Because I do so many different things. My skill set is so far. You know, I fix things. I build things. I put things together. You know, I minister to people. I counsel people. I help people. I drive people. I do all kinds of things. And I was looking at this message, and I was like, man, you know what? This is me. And I was asking God, I was saying, God, show me what I am supposed to be doing. I'm trying to find out where I'm at. Okay, so I got to preach to myself right about now. But I'm trying to find out where I am. Where am I supposed to be as far as being a servant, as far as the kingdom of God? Trying to be, you know, be all that I can be. Because I understand that God called me the pastor. That's a not so hard job to stand before you and to write a few notes and just come back and just start talking to you. It's not a hard thing to do, you know, because you got 7 days to prepare for just this day alone. Amen. But the thing about it is preparing yourself for when you go outside those doors and when you run into somebody like this young lady, which I don't know who you are, but you know, and just to be able to say, hey, you know what? God, beyond God loving you, but how can I do something to help you? Not saying that you're dirty or that you're lost, but the fact is that there is something that God wants to impart in all of us. And I'm going to switch this thing out because I ain't like this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There we go. But now, so here we are, you know, and I just want to just say this, that no matter what you're going through in your life, you know, it's that God has a plan for all of us. And God has, he has called us to serve. That's what he called all of you that's in here, all of you that's on Zoom. He just called us to be servant. You know, and one of the stories that I read about in here was about who you look at. Who do you think is the greatest servant? Who do you think is the greatest servant in the natural sense? And in my notes, you know what it was? Who would say? And I would say the same thing when I read it. Was that my mama? My mama. She stirred all the time. I remember back when I was a kid, you know, and somebody said, well, who you think is the greatest servant? I was like, my mama. I would have said, you know, I didn't know Jesus back then. You know what I'm saying? So my mama was. My daddy wasn't around, but my mama was. You know, my kids probably said they dad and they mama. You know, but in the sense of that, every time I looked around, and you probably can relate to this, that your mama was right then.
Right.
You know, she was right. She might not have been perfect in every aspect, but she was right there. You know, and I know sometimes we look at it, but that's you know, servant, just the servanthood is just the fact that is that we will perform certain duties, we will go far beyond, and the fact is that just because you don't have all the education that I might have, which I don't have much, neither, but the fact of the matter, or like Nick got doctorate degrees and all that other stuff, but the fact of the matter is that where you are is where God wants you, and the fact is that what you have is what God wants to use inside of you, and the fact is that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, that God has a plan for your life. And we know that because in Jeremiah it talks about that God has a plan for us. That even from birth, when we was just little bitty babies, before we was even thought of, God had already had a plan for us. But what he's doing in the midst of what we're going through, he's preparing us with our attitudes. He's getting our skill sets right. He's positioning us in places that we don't even know, have an idea. I had no clue where I'm working at, that I would even be in the place where I'm at. But I know that what I'm doing in the place that I'm at is being effective as being a servant. I was chosen just to be a driver, but I do more than just drive. But sometimes God places you in a position where he wants to use you to the utmost. And you say, well, how are you using me, Lord? How are you going to use me? I don't have the education. Lord Jesus, I don't. My morale is low. You know, and being with COVID like it is right now, everybody's scared to do something. Everybody's scared to step out. But nevertheless, realize that no matter what, God has shielded us, God has protected us. And Jesus was letting the disciples know that, look, we got a crook in the house. But just because we got a crook in the house, I got to wash his feet too. Hallelujah. I got to feed him too. Hallelujah. He's going to betray me, but that's all right, because the next day they're going to come and take me to the cross. But that's okay, because it's all right. So, sometimes we ask the question, we have to ask ourselves some simple little questions. How can I be a greater servant? You know, I had no idea that I would be where I'm at. I had no idea that I would have been washing people's feet. I had no idea that I would be serving people the way that I do. You know, and you know what? And here's the thing, is that being in servanthood and being in this area of serving, you don't even get paid right. But who cares about the money? Because God said he would take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. I walk around with pain on my body, but that's all right, because God said he has already healed me. By his stripes, I'm already healed. But you know what? But the more I work for him, the more I do for him, the more things change for me. Listen, I'm going to read a couple of these that I have here. Are you motivated by love? Because that's part of serving. Are you motivated by love? You'll find that in the same chapter we just read in verses 1 and 2. Jesus did. He displayed unending love. He displayed unconditional love.
Yeah.
He displayed a love, what we call it, we say agape love. He wasn't selfish, you know. He didn't care about, you know, sometimes we look at, and I know I was in a church one time, and I did so much stuff in the church. I was everything in the church, you know what I'm saying? And then when it came down to when they were passing out stuff, they didn't even say nothing about me. They didn't even mention my name, you know. And then finally, they did say something at the end where we thank Lord for brother Jesse, brother Greg. You know, I remember when I directed that choir. I remember when I used to go in there when the church was when it was holes because it was a discotheque. And I went in there when nobody else was going, when the services, when nobody had, nobody would open up the building, heat it up in the morning time. I ain't even have a car, but I would walk to church and open up the doors.
All right.
And you know what? And you know what it makes me feel like when you don't get acknowledged? And I was still a baby. I was still a baby. But you know what? God had to smack me on my back and let me know, I got you, son. Your servant is not gone unnoticed.
All right.
Whew.
All right.
Listen. Are you motivated by love? Because I was. That's why I did what I did, because I was motivated by love. I loved Jesus so much during those times, and still I love him still, you know, even more. But I loved him. I was willing to walk from church street to 30-something street. You know what I'm saying? I was willing to do that, you know. It didn't matter to me because I just wanted to be all I could be for the Lord. I just wanted God to just use me in whatever capacity. Didn't want to be no preacher. You know what I'm saying? I like playing bass guitar. I like singing, you know. I like directing the choir, but I didn't want to stand up and talk to y'all because that was something that I just never wanted to do. But God had a plan. And see, and in your faithful, if you be faithful over a little, God will turn the little into much. That's what he said he would do.
That's what he said.
Okay. Oh, look, possess a security. Now, also here it is. Everybody was fussing, everybody was complaining. And Jesus had, you know, sometimes when you feel like you walk around feeling insecure, you know, and that's a word that's not a good word, especially for believers, walking around with insecure. You feel like, no, you should never feel like that, not being in Christ, because you know why? And I know we do, because I do too. I know I do. I go through those moments where God knows, Lord, I can eat your hell. Yeah. But then I know that I can gird up myself. But you know what? If you put on the whole armor of God in the morning, you know, because once you lay down at night and close your eyes and go to sleep, you're going to be resting good. But get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm stepping into my shoes. I got my shield over here before I go out the door. My sword, the sword of the salvation. I got my helmet on, and you definitely can't forget to put your breastplate of righteousness on, because that's what's going to guard your heart. It's going to guard it. You know, you got to gird yourself up. It's right there. God has given you all the tools you need, and then you can go out there and tell people about the goodness of God. I'm gonna be a witness with Jesus. I know. You talk about witness, man. Like, I remember Jehovah's Witness, boy, they used to eat outdoors now. You let them come in one time, didn't you? Yeah, like every Saturday morning. Huh? Hey, it's Brother John. Hey, Jesse, Brother John. And Brother Bobo, we here to talk about the watchtower. I'm not interested today. I want to sleep. Y'all been through that? Let me find another one for you. Man. How about that? Initiate serving. Receive serving ministries. We want to be a part of whatever we can be. How many of y'all know you're all already a minister? Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir.
And everybody ain't no pastor, no. But everybody's the minister.
Amen.
Look, here's what happened. In the days of old, when they came out the upper room, guess what they did? They went out and ministered to everybody. They spoke in other tongues because they had a Holy Ghost experience. They had a boldness that stirred up inside of them that changed the whole world. I think we probably need to go back and have an upper room spirit so we can get rid of this coronavirus. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of it. I'm trying to figure out, Lord, what do I have to do? Where are we lacking that? So, you know, because he said in the word, he said, my people will call, which is called by my name, will they humble themselves and pray. He would change. He would heal. Yeah. Guess we ain't praying hard enough or something. I don't know. Listen, you don't want to hinder nobody from being who that God's called to be. And you know, and Jesus never did that. He never did. All he did was just love. And my greatest thing that I can just impute in your spirit today before you leave out of here is that no matter what, just continue to love. No matter how you feel, you just continue to love. You know what? We used to say this, that we would love people to death. You know? And now we said, now we love people to life. You know, and that's the thing that you want to do. You want to, because that's what Jesus did. In all of my studying that I did, Jesus loved people to life. He loved them. He loved them. He said, you know what? And we love you and we feed you. Maybe that's the reason why I feed everybody. People say, man, you'll feed me before you do it. Yeah. Because something about when you feed somebody, when you at the supper table, there's something different that goes on.
Yeah.
And let me leave you with this. These are just some agenda, leadership agendas, and I just want to leave you with. Yes, put others ahead of your agenda. And you may not get this. Go on the website. You can listen to the message for today. But look, put others ahead of yourself. Many times you don't. And trust and believe, even with us being preachers, you know, y'all know sometimes we do so much. We think, oh yeah, we doing this and we doing that, you know, and stuff. But you got to put yourself down. But this is what was happening with Jesus. Jesus was like, Peter, no, hey man, you know what? It ain't even about you. It's not about you. And when you sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, you know what? You know what? The servant is not here to do the baptism, you know, to do the feet washing. You know, so who's going to do it? They argued and stuff. You read about it in the book. They argued about that thing. And then Jesus said, look, here's Jesus. And Jesus took his shirt, rolled up his knee, and took it, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he moved right on over there, and you was the first one that he washed. Give me your feet. Take them shoes off and you wash them feet. You can do your stockings off. You're going to watch with him. That's what he did. And then they're going to fit and sit there. They're deciding. Who's criticizing me? I'm doing what doing what you're supposed to be doing. And what I'm saying, folks, is that sometimes we just got to forget about our own selves. We want God to open doors for us. We got to forget about our own selves and forget about our agenda and take on somebody else's. All right. Develop the confidence and security to take a risk. To take risks. Glory. You got to be able to take risks. All right? Look for the needs to take initiative. All right? That one, to take initiative. You know? In other words, just don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If God has put something in your heart to do, begin to start doing it. If you begin to start doing what God's put in your spirit to do, watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens in your family. You know, everybody waits for somebody to tell them what to do. You know, I have to pray. Our leadership team, we pray. We be praying for you to for God to impute you, to God to motivate you, or God to show you what God called you to do. God showed me. I didn't want it. When He showed me, I didn't want it. So I saw that guy preaching every night. Every night I saw that. Every time I close my eyes, wake up, I'm sweaty, wet. You know, like I peed on myself and everything like this. I go tell my mama. I said, Mama, I don't know what's going on with me, but my body's going through a transition at night. It don't smell like pee, but I don't know what's going on with me. Went to my pastor. Pastor said, well, you know what, Brother Jess? I think the Lord is calling you to preach. I'm like, what? I only been saved a year. Just a year. That's what I said. I only been saved. That's how I said, just like that. I only been saved a year. I came from Boston to here, and I just didn't want to just go to jail, so that was the only thing I know. So that was the only thing I knew, was to call on Jesus. That's what my mama said to keep me from going to jail, and it worked.
Amen. All
right. Pastor bought me an amplifier so I could play the bass guitar in their church, and it was good. But that's all I wanted to do. But then God started showing me this is what he wanted to do. And then when God showed me about free spirit, I was in 1977 when he showed me about free spirit. I was like, oh God, I told Donna. I said, God, Donna. She said, no. She said, no, no, no. I said, well, what am I supposed to do? Because you've been in church longer than I have. See, because I do the church thing. You've been in church longer than I have. David and them, they've been in church for a long time. I just started church. I just got into this. And God is putting all this stuff on me. God is, what is you doing? See, I talked to God just like this. I said, sister, I said, God, what in the world are you doing to me? I don't know about this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he ain't saying nothing. But you know what? I just kept praying. I kept talking to him. I kept talking to him just like this. God, you can't do this to me. I'm broke. I ain't got no money. I got a wife. I have no money. I'm broke. How can I do all this? And everybody I see is good. When I talk about good, they pockets is good. They drive there, they got big churches, they got all this stuff. Because we down south where all this stuff is good. You know? We scrambling. And you calling me to preach? To who? I can't even talk good.
Okay.
I was talking like Moses, really. Okay. Stuttering up the storm. Yeah. And I was stuck. And even farther than that, I used to sit up there and people in the church be asleep.
We might as well get our lunches because Minister Gray, he can read and preach. We might as well go ahead on and ride this boat out because he's going to be here for a little while. I got a bell of notes up here.
But I was good when I saw him. I get everybody happy when they sing the song. I good. You know, but when I stood up there, but you know, it was a process that took place.
Amen.
I didn't give up. What am I saying? And still, is this what I really wanted? It's not. But it's not now, choice because gifts and callings are without repentance. So whatever God has called you to do, you just got to do it. Whenever you decide that you want to make up in your mind, you want to do what God has called you to do, then watch what changes in your life. Okay. Okay, first one, perform small acts anonymously. Don't let nobody know. You don't have to tell nobody what you're doing all the time.
Amen.
You don't. You know, and that's being a good servant. You know, because you can do many, 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 many things. You know, and God will reward you. Look, learn to walk slowly through the crowd. When I listened to that, I was wondering. I said, learn to walk slowly through the crowd. Why do you think He wants you to walk slowly through the crowd? See, and I believe what it is because we don't put on that power of discernment. So when I walk slowly to the crowd, I can discern what you're going through.
That's right.
I can feel that you're going through turmoil in your life. I can feel that you was expected to get that big old birthday party. You was expected for God to take the fill of your tank. You would expect to think for God to give you more money on that business. You know, you take your time, you're giving God a chance enough to just use you. You know, because you got the power of discernment working with you.
Yeah. All
right.
My feet is big. But, it, you know, listen, walk through the crowd slowly. And I believe through the scriptures, they talk about Jesus. Jesus just walked. And I don't believe he can walk fast. He just took his time. That's why the woman that had the issue of blood, that's why she caught hold to his garment. So he would walk the floor. You know? Disciples trying to tell him, come on, man, come on. Let's get on. Get out the way. Let's get it. So, and Jesus said, look, I got to take my time.
Right.
But somebody just needs that touch. And that's what it is. You know? And sometimes we just have to just stop. And just let God just go ahead on and just do what he has to do for us. And even right on through the baby. Because just because you're a baby don't mean that you can't be used by God.
Amen.
I'm a little witness to that. And then you just here. Then it says, begin your day reflecting on the love you have for others in your life.
reflecting on the love you have for others in your life. I'm almost done. You got to do it. You have to just think about good things. Good. I just said, think about good things. Think about the good things.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. You got to think about the good things. I always think about the good things. You know, I think about, me and Miss Jacqueline talk about it. I think about all the good things, you know, that she has done. We just enjoy one another, you know. And just the fact is that just seeing what God is doing in her life, you know, what God is doing in our church, you know, what God is doing in Zoom, you know, it's just, I'm thinking about all this good stuff. And, you know, we got to reflect on those things. I just think about what God is doing in my life, you know. Yeah. This morning I got up, I was hurting. You know, after Friday, Saturday morning, I got a pain in my side so bad, in my stomach so bad. It was hurting me so bad. I was like, I felt like something was stabbing me in my stomach. I just got finished speaking, and I never felt nothing like that before. But that's all right. You know what I'm saying? Because I kept, what happened in the midst of it, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I had a bathroom or what was going on. I wasn't eating anything, but I was kept on moving around. And I kept bending over. I kept on moving around. I kept on bending over. You know, but I just kept on just trusting in God. And I just kept saying, Lord, I don't know what it is, but I know you do. And because you know what it is, I'm good. Yeah. And at some point in time, I don't know, last night, that morning, it went away. When I woke up, I wasn't there. You know, I didn't eat nothing that whole day. Maybe that's what it was, but I didn't eat. But then again, I remember that it was something that ate a pickle. Hey, listen, and the last one is develop a basis for action. Develop a basis for action. What kind of action are you talking about? You're talking about doing something positive, being able to be serving for someone, you know? How many people, you know, there's somebody that needs to be encouraged. And we use encouragement more so than any, probably anything. It's encouraging, you know, encouraging. Even when you're encouraging somebody else, don't you know that it does something for you? It fixes your problems. When you're encouraging somebody else, it fixes your problems. You know, it works for me. Every time I'm going through something tough, I start encouraging people. I call folks on the phone. Hey, I just call you just to encourage you. You know what I'm saying? You might not need it. But I just call to encourage you, you know, or somebody call you and you say, you know what? I was just thinking about you. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? Can we just pray? You ain't got to tell nobody nothing all the time. We have a tendency of telling people too many things.
Amen.
And we need to keep things to ourselves.
Amen.
Because if we tell it to the wrong person, it's going to get out. And it's going to be all on social media because we know how that works.
Yes, sir.
You know? You think about it. Boy, can you imagine what it would have been like if they'd have had Facebook and Instagram, Twitter back in Jesus' time? Jesus might have died sooner. Because they hurry up and got him out of here after 3 years. But the fact is that, you know, it's just the way it is right now. Sometimes that stuff is not good if we don't use it right. Because people will use it against you. They will go back to the father's part of your Facebook page and pull up dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, let me tell you about Brother David and Jesse. You know they brothers, but you know what? Let me tell you about them. He was out there gambling, and Jesse was out there. He on drugs and everything like that. All this little crazy mess. You know they were dope dealers and robbers, and you know. They were all this stuff. This was back in Facebook time. You know, we were back when we were kids. But they'll bring it back up and try to destroy it.
Yeah.
You know? You know, you do by the name. The fact is that we turn that thing around. And I always think about it. I remember Facebook when it first came out. I thought it was the best thing that ever happened. But the fact is, man, they turned it into the worst thing that ever happened. Now they're trying to turn it back around again. People using it for ministry and stuff like that. But still, they got a lot of mess going on. And you caught up in a lot of that mess. You know, you get out of that mess and get into some new stuff. You get into this stuff right here. Watch what God does. So I thank God
of his being a servant. That's be who you are. I've been the greatest person you and me. What's your name? Peter? Tia? Peter? Oh, Peter. Listen, the greatest person you can be is you. No matter what anybody else says, it's you. That's it. I don't care where you go. It's Deanna. It's Deanna. I don't care where you go. Yeah. You can go out anywhere. When Deanna starts talking, everybody knows it's D. Oh, that goes to D. How you know? You can tell. Yeah. It's something about us that people know. People can feel. I want people to feel God in me. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm drunk right now. I'm still working on it. But you know what? I was thinking 10 years ago, I was sitting right there on that seat right there. 10 years ago. Yeah. In my church, this is my home. You know, this is my home church. You can understand. And God did what he said. But you know what? In the midst of everything that happened in my life during those times of 3 years I was going away from you, boy, I went through some trials and tribulation. Boy, life was tough. But you know what? In the midst of it all, God said, you know what? I still got you. God said, I still got you. Even though you might have fell off, guess what? I still got you by the name. And you know what? And what's going to make it so cool? His hand is so great that he holds our whole hand, neck. He gets our whole being, you know, and he keeps it. Every time we fall short, guess what? We dangling right there in danger. But in the midst of it all, he got us.
Thank you.
Do it.
Glory.
And that's what I love about it.
Hallelujah.
So at this time, you know, get ready to pray. I want to just pray a prayer. Pray a prayer just for God to just transform. Because I think it will happen to us. We have to be transformed for God to just do whatever we have to do with us. And I don't know how many of you have God to transform you right now. To what he wants you to be. Because, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm speaking prophetic when I say this, you know, is that I know that God has something in store for everyone that's sitting in this room right now, even on the television. God has something, and God wants to use us this year. And my prayer is, when we take communion, is that today is the beginning of a new beginning for all of us. Including myself. I was praying with someone on yesterday, and all of a sudden I just blacked out. I saw a thing, and I was praying again, and they thought I was asleep. I won't sleep. I just went into a vision for a moment, and I saw some things that God was revealing to me. You know, I can't tell you, but God was showing me some things that about me, that for me. And I know that God is going to do something. And I know and I believe that we're going to see some results from this in the days to come. You know, I believe that by next Sunday, some people are going to be coming in here testifying about what God, the change that God has made in their lives because of this. You know, this word, the word imputed in our spirit, the word. And God has promised that he's going to do a new thing in us now. Shoot, man. He is. He's doing it right now. He ain't done it. It's already done now.
Hallelujah.
Father, we just thank you now, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray right now with my hand uplifted. And God, I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. We're just servants, oh God. I'm a pastor servant, but I'm a servant. And I know I could be a traditional servant, but I refuse to be a traditional servant. I just want to be a servant for you, oh God. I just want to serve you to the greatest and the highest capacity. I don't have all the education. I don't know it all, God. But I do know that I love you so much, oh God, that I would give my life for you, oh God, as you have given your life for me. Forgive me right now, God. Forgive us right now, God, for our sins, oh God. Forgive us for our shortcomings. Forgive us for our doubts and our fears, oh God, because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us a spirit of love and of power and of a
sound mind, and we can overcome anything, oh God. And God, we can cast all our cares on you because that's what you said do so. And God, so we thank you right now, God, even on Zoom, oh God, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, oh God, we receive it right now in the name of Jesus, God, because you promised that you would do it, oh God, and we had great expectation for 2021, but God, so many different things happen in our life, God, around us with this coronavirus, oh God, but I pray right now, and we agree right now, God, that we will have a new experience under your power, oh God, that you will rejuvenate the Holy Ghost inside of us, oh God, that you will take control of our tongues, oh God, our eyes, our lips, everything about us, oh God, that you will take control of it right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you will move, oh God, every obstacle that has been standing in our way, oh God, just stopping us from going forward, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we receive it. We thank you now, God. We thank you for our healing to our bodies, oh God. We thank you for the healing for our homes, oh God. We thank you for deliverance for our families, oh God, in Jesus' name. And even now, from this day forth, oh God, we believe it so right now in the name of Jesus. And God, so even so, bless the bread and the juice, oh God, that we're going to be partaking on, oh God. And Father, we just want you, oh God, just as we partake in it, oh God, like every Sunday, oh God, let it fortify our being, oh God. Let it just saturate in our spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And everything that we need done in our body, let it be so, God, as we chew it and crack. As we drink the juice, oh God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.